Well, today is Passion Sunday, and the epistle appointed for the Mass of Passion Sunday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Brethren, Christ being come a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, enter once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen, and the ashes of an heifer, being sprinkled, sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the gospel appointed for the Mass. Let's take it from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" And Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" And Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say that I know him not, I shall be like to you, a liar. But I do know him, and do keep his word. Abraham your father rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad." And the Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" And Jesus saith to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones therefore to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. How much more will the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works? Words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the history of the Jesuit order, it's related that a young man in India was one day leaving his room with the intention of going out to commit a particular sin. As he was leaving the room, which was empty, and there was no one in the room, he suddenly heard a voice from behind him, from this empty room where there was no one. He heard this voice saying, "Stop! Where are you going?" He turned around in surprise and shock. Then he looked toward the direction where the voice had come. He looked toward a sculpted image of Our Lady of Sorrows. This particular statue typically shows Our Lady holding the instruments of the Passion. It often shows Our Lady holding the crown of thorns, Our Lord's crown of thorns. This image of Our Lady of Sorrows also usually has 7 swords piercing Our Lady's breast. So if it's a picture, you'll see 7 swords painted on the picture. If it's a statue, you'll see often 7 wooden swords piercing into her heart. Those swords symbolize, the 7 swords symbolize the 7 principal sorrows in Our Lady's life, the 7 principal sufferings of Our Lord that caused her immense grief. And those sorrows, this statue of Our Lady, this Our Lady of Sorrows, reminds us of how much Our Lady suffered from seeing her son suffer. Well, this particular statue that was in this man's room appeared to come to life. Our Lady, he then saw her take hold of one of those swords in her heart. And then she said to him, "Take this dagger and pierce my heart rather than wound my son by committing such a sin." Again, she said, "Take this dagger and pierce my heart rather than wound my son by committing such a sin." On hearing these words, we can well imagine this young man came to himself and realized the terrible evil that his sin was about to do, and what great grief it was going to cause our Lord and his mother. Realizing that, he fell to his knees and he burst into tears. And with true and deep and heartfelt sorrow, he begged pardon of God and of our Blessed Lady. He was forgiven. No doubt he saw the peace and contentment in Our Lady's face, showing that she was pleased with his change of heart. But I'm sure that he never forgot the haunting sadness on Our Lady's sweet face when he was about ready to commit a sin. This incident also proves wrong those ignorant people who will say things like, "What's the big deal? It's only a sin," or "It's only a venial sin." Or people will say, "My sin doesn't hurt anyone." That is false. Every sin hurts someone. Every sin hurts our Lord. Every sin, even the smallest willful sin, hurts our Blessed Lady. Today, as I mentioned, is Passion Sunday. Church begins on this day to make the sufferings of Christ her chief thought. It's as if God would have us remember what he has done for us. He wants us to be grateful. Recalling what our Lord has suffered gives him great glory. He wants us to remember his sufferings. Nothing so powerfully moves us to love God and avoid sin as reflecting upon what Christ has suffered. So today I would like to show you how you can do so in a very simple way. You already, I presume, pray the daily rosary. You should be praying the daily rosary. Every good Catholic should pray the rosary, because our Blessed Lady, our dear mother, has earnestly and insistently beseeched us in numerous apparitions to pray the rosary each and every day. So if we consider ourselves children of God and children of our Blessed Lady, we do pray that rosary every day because it's something which is very dear to her heart. It not only pleases our Lord and the Blessed Mother, but it obtains for us many graces that will perhaps be instrumental and necessary for our salvation. So it's not only for Our Lady's sake that she requests the rosary, but she requests that we pray the rosary for our own sake, because she wants us to be saved. Now, to pray the rosary properly is to reflect upon the mysteries. And what I propose to you is that you make this meditation with a very specific outlook. Put yourself in the heart of Our Blessed Lady and imagine living each mystery with her. Try to imagine her feelings and to share her sentiments, her emotions. Sympathize with her in her sorrows. Grieve with her when you see the sufferings of Jesus as you look upon the mysteries of the rosary. Imagine what she sees. With her, look upon the passion of her son. Behold the blood. Behold his bruises, the scourges, the insults, the thorns, the nails, the shame that he suffers. This is what our sins have done to him. And try to grieve to see his sufferings, whether it be the agony, the scourging, the thorns, or the cross and nails. Consider how all these sufferings afflict his mother as she beholds them, how they pierce and tear, how they crush her sweet and gentle heart. Of the of all the 15 mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries are my favorite. For me, I find that they're the easiest ones to meditate upon, and it's easiest to sympathize with those hearts, the hearts of Jesus and Mary, which are so good and which suffer so much, especially in these mysteries. Now, it is possible, I believe, to pray even the joyful and the glorious mysteries from a perspective of the Passion. As you put yourself into each of the joyful mysteries, live that mystery with Our Lady. Consider that she knew the prophecies. She knew that her infant son was to redeem men by suffering. She knew that he would be a suffering Savior. And so as she watches him grow each day in sweetness and loveliness, she is ever haunted by his future Passion, which she knows is inevitable and which approaches closer and closer with every passing moment. As you meditate upon the joyful mysteries, sympathize with her. For the more lovable Jesus becomes with age, the more painful does the thought of his future sufferings become. As you pray the glorious mysteries, consider how great must be the glory of Jesus and Mary to be proportionate to the greatness of their sufferings, because their future glory, rather the glory they now enjoy, is a reward for what they have endured, at least on the part of our Blessed Lady. On our Lord's part, he has obtained a certain glory. He has given a certain glory to God the Father by what he has suffered, by what he has done. And that has increased his own glory in heaven. So what he has suffered is to his glory and honor in heaven. And so how great that glory must be because his sufferings were so great. Look to their glory and find courage in your own sufferings. Embrace your duties. Serve God more generously. For like Jesus and Mary, who suffered very generously, your future glory will be in direct proportion to your patient suffering and to your cheerful generosity as you do your duties. Look upon the glorious mysteries in connection with the Passion. For glory and happiness follow patient suffering. So no matter what mystery you are praying, consider how it relates to the Passion of Christ. View that mystery through the eyes of the Blessed Mother. Consider what she feels. Sympathize with her. This Friday is the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Our Lord's purpose in inspiring this feast in Holy Church in the calendar each year is to move us to honor his mother by remembering her sorrows. And I just have a few thoughts that I will suggest to you to inspire you with a greater sympathy for Our Lady, for she is very deserving of our sympathy and our compassion. Consider that she is the queen of martyrs because she suffered more than all the other martyrs combined. Our Lord is referred to as the king of martyrs because he suffered far greater in his passion than all the other martyrs suffered. But she also has suffered more in the grief and sorrow of heart that she experienced, seeing his suffering. She also has suffered more than all of the other martyrs. Mary was preserved from dying, although she suffered more than enough to die 1,000 deaths. St. Bernard has said that she was a martyr not by the sword of the executioner, but by the bitter sorrow of her heart. Her grief of heart was truly a real martyrdom. Her suffering was also greater than that of all the other martyrs, as I said, for her whole life could be called a continuous and prolonged death. So great was the agony that she felt and the sorrow that she experienced, even from the time that our Lord was an infant. Consider also that time, which usually lessens sorrow in our regard, only increased her sorrow as his passion drew nearer. It can also be said in many cases that parents are often more cruelly tormented by their children's sufferings than by their own sufferings. And this was especially true in Mary's case. She suffered more in witnessing the sufferings of her beloved Jesus than if she herself had endured all the outrages and the death of her son. In fact, if she had been allowed to suffer with him and to be crucified on a cross beside him, that would have been a comfort to her, for she would have felt that she was at least sharing his pain and at least enduring the same thing that would have given her comfort. But not being able to share that pain was a greater grief for her soul. Consider also that the more we love something, the more pain we feel at losing it. To understand the greatness of Our Lady's grief, we must understand the greatness of her love for him. Her love for him was natural and supernatural. It was supernatural because she loved him as her God. She was also natural. She loved him as her son. And both of those loves are beyond anything we can imagine. Both her supernatural love and attachment, devotion to God, as well as her natural love for her son. God gave her an immense capacity for love. And she cooperated perfectly with every grace that God gave her throughout her entire life. And so theologians and doctors or fathers of the church will have often said that it's their opinion that Our Lady doubled her merits and perhaps even doubled her love in every instant of her life by her perfect cooperation with the continuous and ongoing graces that God was giving her from the time that she was young. So it's impossible for us to imagine how great she is and how great is her love. Who can measure the greatness of her love? God gave her a love which is greater than that of all the saints and of all the angels combined together. All the love of all the angels and all the love of all men, the billions and billions of angels, billions and billions of men combined together, would not compare to how great her love is. If we were to imagine the love of a great saint being measured as a drop of water, a great saint would love God with as much as a drop of water. By comparison, we would have to say that Our Lady, her love is so great that it's greater than all the entire oceans of the whole world. That that proportion is so much greater in her case. So we literally cannot measure her love. Her love is measureless. Only God can fathom the depths of her love. And so, knowing that she loves God this much, we know that her sorrow was as great as her love was. We might say that Our Lady's only comfort was to see a lost world redeemed. She shared her son's love for souls, for each and every one of us. For love of us, she accepted her son's death. She willed his death for love of us, and she offered his death to God the Father for our salvation. So completely in union was she with the will of God. And she knew that it was her son's will to sacrifice himself for the salvation of men. And she wanted him to die upon the cross to redeem us. That's how great her love and her charity is. What an immense love. What a truly great love to triumph in such a way over the natural, compassionate love of a mother's heart that wants to see sacrifice and pain taken away from children. Such great love on Our Lady's part deserves our gratitude. And we can show gratitude by reflecting upon her sorrows, by having compassion and pity for Our Lady. And this is something that our Lord and Our Lady have also requested numerous times. Our Lady herself complained to St. Bridget that very few people had compassion for her in her sorrows. Very few people thought about them. She said to St. Bridget, "Consider my anguish and imitate as far as you can my grief." Our Lord once made a revelation to Blessed Veronica of Benasco that he was more pleased in seeing compassion for his mother than for himself. He said, in his own words, he said to Blessed Veronica, "My daughter, tears shed for my passion are dear to me. But as I love my mother Mary with an immense love, the meditation of the torments which she endured at my death is even more pleasing to me." My dear faithful, give our Blessed Lady this pleasure. Sympathize with his mother in her sorrows. Do so during Mass, recalling that during Mass, the passion of our Lord is truly and mystically renewed upon the altar. And so he is presenting his passion and death again to God the Father. So mentally be attentive to what takes place at the altar as he shows his passion and death again to God the Father. Mentally behold that image of him crucified. Look upon that image mentally and sympathize with him. Try to grieve to see his sufferings. Grieve as his mother grieves to see those sufferings. Sympathize with her as you look upon those sufferings. Sympathize with her as well, especially each day as you reflect upon the mysteries of the rosary. If you do so, you will make yourselves truly dear to our Lord and the Blessed Mother. You will comfort them, make reparation to our Lord's Sacred Heart, to the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. And you will be immensely rewarded for giving them this comfort. You will receive an abundant shower of graces into your soul. And you will receive all the graces you need to live a good life and to die a holy death, even in the company of the Blessed Mother. She will be there to assist you, to encourage you, and to help you during that last battle. This is a promise that she made to one person in particular, to encourage them to meditate upon her sufferings and her sorrows. I conclude then with a prayer to our Blessed Lady. O Mary, refuge of sinners and mother of sorrows, who has so much shared in the sufferings of thy Son, pray to him to pardon me and give me grace to love him. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.